Glory to God. God is good all the time, even when we're bad. What a time to be alive. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Psalm 23. Hallelujah. Psalm 23. Starting at verse 1. To Revelation 22. No, I'm only kidding. That's a long verse, isn't it? Glory to God. Psalm 23, let's speak it together. The Lord is my what? My shepherd. My shepherd. In other words, he is my Lord. See, when God is your Lord, it's not just Savior, it's Lord. That means you allow him to lord your life. See, so many people only have a relationship with the Savior, but not the Lord. When Jesus becomes your Lord, things are different. Totally different. He is my shepherd. Why? Because he is my Lord. Shepherd leads, Lord commands. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not what? Want. Why? Because you know he's going to meet every need that you need. You won't have to want. In other words, you will not be in lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because he is your Lord, and he is your shepherd. He is your overseer that leads you, and he's the one who commands. So you're always waiting for the commands from the Lord. Does everybody get it? See, the Lord is the shepherd. You know, one of the things we got to understand is you've got to know that he holds all things. See, when you don't have that reality and revelation that he holds all things, we drift. He cannot be your shepherd or Lord until you know that. He holds all things. You know, we know he's the creator, this, and whatever. People just naturally, yeah, he's the creator. God's the creator. The word became flesh. But there's a difference. See, when you begin to live in the Spirit, when you begin to walk in the Spirit, when you begin to live for the kingdom, you give, in other words, you're not fighting for your life no more. You're fighting for his. And there is a difference. What are you fighting for? His life, not yours. Why? You've come to the end of yourself, and it's all about him now, not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. Psalm 34. Hallelujah. And verse 8. What's it say? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So we know that want is associated with those who want. Amen? Those are desires. The Lord says, you will not want, you won't desire anything that I don't, unless I provide it. In other words, you're trying to bring yourself into alignment so that his desires are your desires. It says, to know and to seek him, those who know him and seek him will not lack any good thing. Amen? So to know the Lord, the shepherd, is his Lord. Note that he holds all things. And to seek him, we will not lack. In other words, you're not seeking what you need, you're seeking him. Because he is the source of all things, and everything else is a resource. Tonight's teaching call is called Wants versus Needs. See, some people don't know the difference. They think that their needs are their wants and their wants are their needs. And it must be understood. The Bible tells us that God meets every one of our needs, not all of our wants. Psalm 37. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Let's speak it. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your hearts. Again, a want is a desire. A need is not a desire. It's a necessity. Does everybody understand that? And so he says, if you delight yourself in him, he will release some things that you do desire, that you do want. But as long as it's aligning with the kingdom and his word. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall what? Bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. To want, again, is to desire. James chapter 4. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of confusion out there. People think their needs are their wants. They got it in reverse. James chapter 4. Hallelujah. In verse 1. Let's speak it. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires or your what? Or your wants? Does everybody get it? For what? Pleasure. That war in your what? Members. You lust and you don't have. You know, lust is an overwhelming desire. People that are addicted are lusts. We lust for the drugs. It's an overwhelming desire. But it's living under satanic torment. L-U-S-T. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures or your desires, foolish desires. Adulterers and adulteresses, Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now what's grace? God's plan of escape. Amen. Therefore do what? Submit to God, submit to his authority, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. So you think if you're not submitting to God and God's authority that you can resist the devil? No. You submit, you resist. You no submit, no resist. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? Lift you up. Remember, desires are wants. And what were the wants he was talking about? It's causing problem. They're selfish, selfish pleasures. They're not needs. You know, there are certain things that we need. Amen? Like you need oxygen, don't you? You need water. You need food. Those are needs. Now, there might be certain foods that you want that are desires, and not all of them are healthy for you. Amen? And there are certain things. But people, sometimes they spend money foolishly on desires and wants instead of needs. But if you truly wait on the Lord's going to bring you everything you need. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Let's speak it together. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. In other words, he cried because he was upset because he didn't receive the inheritance, but he truly did not repent out of a pure heart. That's why he was rejected and receiving the blessing. The blessings are what God favors you with. We ask, Lord, oh, Lord, please bless me today. Bless you with what? You need blessings of his presence. That's what we want. We want the presence of the Lord in whatever we do. Why? Because in the presence is fullness of joy. Everything can be released in God's presence to you. He makes a way in every area when God's presence is there. Rejected of his want with no true repentance. True repentance. 2 Corinthians 6. Glory. In verse 1. Second Corinthians 6, verse 1. Everybody there? We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I heard you. In a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is an accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left hand, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, as chastened yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, and as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Wow. Possessing all things. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I possess all things. Everything is available to me. God doesn't hold anything back. Now, do I need all things? No. Do I want all things? No. Whatever he wants me to have is what he allows me to have. That's how we must live our life. Why? Because we no longer live for him. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for him. And everything is about expanding the kingdom and being a sign and wonder to the world. Philippians 4. Philippians 4:14. Everybody there? Hallelujah. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in the Thessalonian, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. In other words, his needs. Amen. Not his wants. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things that sent from you, and a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. In other words, he's going to supply all your necessities. In 1 John chapter 3. But you're not going to receive all these things unless you're aligning your life with the Word of God. First John chapter 3, please. In verse 16. Let's speak it together. But this we know, love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his what? Commandments, or his word. And we do those things that are what? Pleasing to him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Now, he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. You're keeping his commandments, you're aligning yourself with the word, and you will be blessed. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 31. Wants versus needs. Hallelujah. See, there are people that need a car for transportation. Amen. But they find a car that is their desire. Then they go in debt, and their payment towards the car is almost like a payment towards a house. Now they're living to pay the payment for the car. So they're living to serve debt. That's why we want to stay out of debt. Amen? I always looked for a junk car. It didn't matter anything. $300, $1,500, whatever. Something small. Until the Lord blesses you. God does not want us in debt. It's a stumbling block to the believer. Now, don't get me wrong. Your house is a mortgage, which is debt, if you own a home. But it's still got collateral on it. It's a value. Now, you may think your car is, but your car depreciates quicker than anything. It's amazing to me. I've heard people come up to me, yeah, man, I got blessed with a new car. Praise God. Yeah, my payments are $6,000 a month. No, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, all right. How stupid can you be and still breathe? And 2 months later, you find out that they're not living in their home no more. They're living in their car. And it's not an RV. Praise God. Verse 31, everybody there? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be what? Added to you. You'll get every need met. Every need will be met. Seeking what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, his ways. Galatians 6. You know, remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he knows whether you're aligning yourself with the word of God or not. Galatians 6. Hallelujah. In verse 7. Do not be what? Deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also what? Reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. So what you sow is what you're going to reap. Amen? That's just a law. It's a spiritual law. If you're sowing to the bad things, you're going to reap bad things. If you're sowing to the things of the Spirit, you're going to reap good things. See, you can't outrun those things. The only way that you can outdo the things that you've sown in the flesh is to sow more in the Spirit. The more you sow in the Spirit, amen, it's like emptying the bank of corruption by sowing in the Spirit. There's an exchange made. So the more you sow in the Spirit, that's praise and worship, that's speaking the word. The more you sow in the Spirit, the more you empty the bank of corruption. The more you sow in the flesh, you begin to fill the bank of corruption. That's sowing and reaping. Amen. That's why when people come into the discipleship house, the first thing we have to do is start speaking the words, words in the prayer booklet. Why? So well, they may not understand it, but I don't care whether they understand it or not. Amen. They came to submit to get free. Well, God has given us a plan of freedom. You got to sow your way out of everything. You don't dance your way out. You can maybe a little bit. That's kind of one of the spirits, as long as you're dancing in the spirit. But you sow your way out of addiction. You sow your way out of debt. You sow your way out of bondage. You sow your way out of everything. Without sowing, you ain't reaping. Life, that's why what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. That's amazing to me where I hear so many people complaining and grumbling this and that and whatever, and it's like, well, they're lacking this. Like, what have you sown? What are you sowing? You're also sowing grumbling words. Amen? You're reaping them. Malachi 3. Hallelujah. Malachi 3, verse 8. Glory. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Malachi 3, verse 8. Are you ready for this one? Can you handle it? We'll see. Will a man rob God? Anybody here want to rob God? You know, you can't pickpocket him either. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. God doesn't want you to sow tithes and offerings the way you want to. He wants you to sow them the way he wants to. He said, you are cursed with a curse. Why? Because you've been robbing my money. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the what? Storehouse. That whatever house you belong to is where you tithe. That's where you tithe. You give your 10%. That there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Well, the reason why people ain't blessed and being overthrown with the blessings of God is because they're stealing from God. And they call themselves Christians. I'll never forget when I was a young kid going to church. You know, I'd be passing the basket around. Of course, it was a religious operation. People would look for change in their pocket. But nobody ever counted. I never even heard of tithing. I was never told that you should tithe to be blessed. Well, after my wife, when we got together and we found out, and man, we tithe. And we got blessed. I got many testimonies about giving and receiving. And I don't give to receive. I give because the Lord tells me what to give and who to give. I don't need to receive, but he blesses me. Because see, if you're going to sow to receive, if you're going to tithe and offer just to receive, then that's a wrong heart. Does everybody get it? We do it because we love God and we want to bless the kingdom. Why? See, so when money comes into the ministry, we're able to buy Bibles for the jails. We're able to pay for whatever. We're able to take care of people that come into the program. Transportation with gas, this, that, whatever. And that's how it is with all the storehouses of God. And he says, look, I'm going to challenge you on this. Tithe and give offerings. Watch this, verse 11. Speak it with me. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. What's the devourer? The enemy that comes to steal your money. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fall to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, when you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Tithe and offerings. This is how people get held back of their wants and their needs and their blessings. It's a law. People say, oh, man, that's just Old Testament. No, man. Old Testament, New Testament, everything is now. Everything is now. Ephesians 3. There's a difference between wants and needs, man. Well, I tied to the TV evangelist. Wrong. Get your butt off and get into a fellowship. Go sow in the storehouses of God. People just get lazy. Ephesians 3, is everybody there? Everybody okay? Hallelujah, you're still here, so praise God. Verse 14. Let's speak it. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with all might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. He does far above all we could ever ask or think, if we align ourselves with God's word to be received and blessed. And I'm going to close at Psalm 16. Wants versus needs. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes all my needs. Why? Because he is my Lord. He's the commander. He's my shepherd. He leads me. Psalm 16, verse 7. Oh, happy days. Everybody there? Psalm 16, verse 7. Let's speak it. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Did we receive counsel tonight? Yeah. Every time we get together, the word of God is always counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, or hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Those pleasures can be some of the things that you've been waiting for, that you wanted for a long time. God loves to surprise you with gifts, things that you've been desiring. And then you forgot about what you wanted. You forgot. And all of a sudden it shows up. It's like, oh, Lord, you remembered. He loves to blow your socks off so he can get you new ones. He's a cool daddy. Amen? But we got to be hot after him. Remember, there's a difference between wants and needs. Make sure you discern it. We must discern what our wants are and what our needs are. Amen? And not confuse them. God will meet every one of your needs according to his riches and glory if you're aligned. And he'll bless you with some wants as long as you can spend it on stupid stuff. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word and discernment tonight. So, Lord, we need the wisdom, discernment, and understanding so that we are able to discern all the time what is the difference between wants and what is the difference between needs. And help us to realign with your word so that we may be blessed with overflowing abundance in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed and stay dressed with the glory.